This morning, I want to ask you, if you would, to take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And as you're turning there, a couple of things I need to just remind you of this evening. If you are part of Dr. Jerry Hall's CLU class, that class has been postponed. No class there this evening, as well as my class. If you're part of my class, we're going to postpone that once again. I'm going to be doing good if I make it through this service this morning. Many of you have had whatever this stuff is that's going around. My battle started last Sunday and still kind of raging now. Thank you for all your prayers that you have prayed on my behalf. I really appreciate that. Still hadn't quite got there yet, but we're almost there. We're going to continue our series this morning, The Church That Continues to Grow. And in the year 2013, I hope that it is your prayer that this church, Grandview Baptist, continue to grow. I hope that you're at your very heart today is to see this church grow. And automatically, when a lot of people hear that, the first thing they think about is numbers. Seeing people become part of the fellowship, seeing the worship attendance increase, seeing Sunday school, CLU, Sunday evening, Wednesday night attendance increase. And yes, that's part of it. And to see people baptized, just as we saw Miss LZ baptized this morning. And to see that happen, and to see budgets grow, finances grow, and that's all part of it. Yes, yes, I pray that you're praying that. But I want to encourage you this morning to see and ask you to pray along these lines. That the spiritual temperature of Grandview Baptist Church increase. That grow. Because I'm here to tell you today, unless our walk with God Almighty Jesus Christ, unless that is growing, everything else is not going to grow. It's not, because it's not going to be relevant to you and I to see people baptized. It's not going to be relevant to you and I to make sure that we're doing what the commandments of the Word of God tells us to do. We're not going to do that unless our walk, our Christian walk, grow daily. All right? So I want to ask you to pray along those lines. If you're there in 2 Thessalonians, don't everybody start going back to Corinthians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, say amen. Amen. Now, God's Word tells us this. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica and says these words, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command." That is very important. "And may the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." Father, I pray now in the next few moments that we have together in this place, that Lord God, you would just show us how we ought to live or practice what is preached. Lord, I'm not talking about what I preach, but I'm talking about what your word says. Father, I pray today for every person in this room that, Lord God, we would have a burning desire to see our walk, our spiritual walk, our relationship with you, however you want to phrase it, God, that grow in 2013. That, Lord, we may see the other areas of this church grow. Baptisms. Lord, that we may see new families become part of this fellowship. Lord, that we would see these things happen. But God, at the very base of that, at the very core of that, is our relationship with you. Lord, may we see that grow. May we have a desire beginning today to see that happen. In the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. If you've been following along and writing these things down, you know that we're right in the middle of a sermon series here entitled The Church That Continues to Grow. This morning, we're continuing a sermon that we began here a few weeks ago, actually prior to Christmas. We continue that this morning, and it is the church continues to grow by practicing what is preached. And if you will allow me, you may want to write these down if you haven't as of yet. If you will allow me just to give us a brief summary to the point we're at, and then we're going to dive in to some new material here, okay? But this morning, as we recap what we've talked about, is this, is the church that continues to grow, number one, prayer, has prayer requests. They pray that the Word of God would be spread. It ought to be at every one of our heart's desire, every believer in this room here today, whether we're part of this fellowship or not, that we see the Word of God spread around the world. We ought to be actively in participating in that, actively pursuing that, and making sure that that happens here. We ought to pray that the Word of God spread. You remember that the Greek word there tells us this, that is, it really means to run. It's something that we ought to be that enthusiastic about. The Word of God ought to be glorified, meaning this, that it's spread everywhere. We ought to hear at Grandview, number one, our number one concern ought to be the community in which we're in. That is the Cowart's area, Dothan area. We ought to be concerned about that. But did you realize this as well, that we also ought to be concerned about the souls of the people in Asia, the souls of the people in Africa, the souls of the people in around the world? We ought to be concerned about that and make sure that we do everything we can to see the Word of God spread to all of those areas. Then we ought to pray for the deliverance from the perverse or evil man. Can I share this with you today? If this church, any church for that matter, that does what the Word of God says, I guarantee you a spiritual attack is coming. I guarantee you that if we begin to do what the Word of God says, and we try our best to live that as individuals and as a church, I guarantee you that today the attack will come. Notice what the Bible says right here. The Bible does not say this to take us totally out of the spiritual battle. It does not say that. It says to deliver us from this perverse and evil man. That means simply this, to give us the strength to stay in the fight. Amen. Because I'm here to tell you today, being a believer and living the Christian life, it is a battle. It is a fight. Let me speak for myself. It is for me. Every day, it is a fight. We ought to pray for one another in this church this morning that God give us the power and the strength to stand and fight against the one, the evil one. But there is something else as well. As we continue on in this, that we ought to, the church that continues to grow by preaching what is, practicing what is preached, points out God's actions. Did you realize this morning, sitting in this place, did you realize this morning that God is faithful today? He is. God is faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've learned this. Things doesn't happen in my life the way that I think they ought to happen. They don't happen as fast as I think they ought to happen. But I have learned this, that in God's timing. It is the best for me and for my family. God is faithful today, all right? But notice this. Not only is God faithful, but God also gives us strength today. Oh, my gracious. And listen, I'm not just talking about physical strength. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about physical. I'm talking about physical strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. I'm talking about emotional strength. You may want to write those passages down that are there on the board. You may want to write those down for further study later. But it speaks directly to those areas of strength in the Christian's life. All right? We need to make sure that we realize that God is faithful, that God gives us strength. And third is this, God gives protection. I praise be unto God that He protects this old boy. Because, buddy, I make some mistakes. I make some really, really ignorant mistakes. I make some things that really could get me in trouble, but praise be unto God, He protects me. We ought to make sure that we realize that this morning. And then the final thing, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time today, and come back tonight, please, and because I'm sharing this with you this morning already. There's no way we're going to finish this morning. I'll go ahead and let that out, let you know that right now. There is no way we can finish what we're about to look at. But the third thing is this, and it is the title of this message, and this is where we're going to pick up. Practice what is preached. How many of you know who Fred Luter is? He's president of Southern Baptist Convention. First time I ever heard him preach, he preached right here in Dothan, Alabama, at the Dothan Civic Center when the state convention was held right here. That's the first time I ever heard the man preach. He preached right here in Dothan, Alabama. I drove down here from Phoenix City to hear him, and he told an illustration. You've probably heard this before, but allow me to use it this morning. He said that there was a church one time with a pastor of Duckville. Duckville Baptist Church is where it was at. And sure enough, all of the ducks, all the high society ducks that were part anything in that town in Duckville, went to First Baptist Duckville. And sure enough, they would come in there, and the preacher, he would stand up and he would preach on Sunday mornings. And one Sunday morning, he began to preach about being a duck and what it meant to be a duck. He described how ducks, how they were, their anatomy, their sleekness in body design, their aerodynamics of their wings. They were just so sleek and fast through the air. They were able just to glide. They were able to pick up speed, that they were able to do all of these things. And sure enough, all of the ducks in the congregation just got worked up into a frenzy. There was duck feathers flying everywhere. They were amen. And the preacher, as he was quacking to the top of his lungs about how great it was to be a duck and how fast ducks could fly and all of their abilities to travel great distances around the world and how great it was to be a duck and to fly like a duck. And the sermon was over, and as the feathers began to settle, every one of them walked home. I heard Fred Luter tell that story, and I thought about it a lot over the years. And you know what? He's right. Listen, we can come in and we can hear a preacher boy preach somewhere. We can hear a preacher tell all kinds of stories. And really, I mean, we can get worked up into a frenzy and we can amen and hallelujah and praise God whenever the preacher preaches about things found in the Word of God. But until we practice it, it's useless. So I want to encourage you today to practice what is preached. Not talking about me. If you come here to hear me, I praise God you come here to hear me today. I praise God for that. I really do. But who you really ought to be longing to hear from today is the Spirit of God. That's who you ought to be longing to hear from. And once you hear from that Spirit today, the Spirit of God, listen to me. Don't just leave here and say, well, oh, that's pretty good. I'll think about that. Doggone it, leave here and do it. Practice what is preached, all right? Notice this. There's a reason for that. Keep your hand there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. But turn back with me for just a moment. Allow me to find it, and then I'll make sure I've got it right, and then I'll tell you to turn there. Don't talk among yourselves. Yes, turn to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. All right? And we're talking about practicing what is preached. This is so relevant. You're going to want to write this passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture down. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Okay? When you get there, say amen. I still hear pages turning. It's okay. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to this very carefully. The Word of God tells us this, and by this we know that we have come to know Him. In other words, listen. Listen to this. Let me just give a brief commentary on that phrase right there. This is how people are going to know that you and I are a believer. That's what he's saying. He's saying this. Look at it again. He says, and by this we know that we have come to know Him. Know who? Jesus Christ. That means this is the key indicator that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what is that key indicator? If we keep His commandments. Now follow me with this. Put a little logic to it. If we are a believer, then one of the key indicators that we are a believer is the fact that we are striving and doing our level best to keep His commandments. That means we come to church. Why? Because the Word of God tells us we ought to come to church. Forsake not assembling yourselves together. We ought to do our level best to keep the Ten Commandments, that we ought not to commit adultery, that we ought not to put other gods before God Almighty, and so on and so forth. That is a key indicator that we are a believer. But listen to this. Not only does that shine forth inside of this room, you know where it ought to shine even brighter? Is when you walk out that door this afternoon. Whenever I walk out this door this afternoon, get in my car, go wherever I go. Whenever we go to work tomorrow, that's when it ought to shine the brightest. Because when we keep His commandments, that shows the world that we have a relationship with Him. But, listen to this. If you are not keeping these commandments, I am no judge of man or woman. You need to check your relationship with Him. Don't run home and say the preacher boy said. No, God's Word says this. And one of the ways we can key in and know if somebody is truly who they ought to be in Jesus Christ, they're trying their best to live the commandments found there. Then that goes without saying then that if they're not keeping those commandments, do they truly have a relationship with Him? But notice this. Turn back with me to 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right? Now, in this passage, the Word of God tells us, notice what it says right there in verse 4. The Word of God says, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing. Paul says this. He writes to the church at Thessalonica and he says, guys, listen, we have faith in you that you are doing and will continue to do what we commanded. You say, well, wait a minute now, preacher, we got a problem here. You're saying that we ought to follow what God says. And now, Paul, what you're reading here, Paul is telling a church at Thessalonica that they ought to follow what he commanded. Well, hold on. Do you realize this morning? That the things Paul wrote come directly from God anyway. It's God who gave these things to Paul. It's God who said these things. Not Paul, but God. It's God who's laying out these commandments. So therefore, if we follow what Paul says and writes in these book words here, we're not really following what Paul says. We're following what God says. Follow me with this now. Now, with that being said, Paul lays out some directives, and he gives directives here found in the Word of God. Turn back with me for just a moment to 1 Thessalonians now. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, I could just stand up here this morning and say these words. You know what? The Word of God says that we ought to follow His commandments and say amen and let's go to the house. But we ain't. Because God's Word is more precise than that. We live in a day and age now where you and I need to hear directly what the Word of God says we ought to be following. Rather than just standing up and say, all right, now, y'all follow His commandments and y'all go home and live like good boys and girls the rest of the week and have a good one. I don't know about you, but I need a little bit more than that. I need to know exactly, what does God say about such things? What does God say? Well, Paul, back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and beginning at verse 12, Paul really begins to lay out some of the things that you and I ought to be doing here in the 21st century. Notice what he says there in verse 12. If you're there, say amen. He says, but we request of you, brethren, that you, listen to this, appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means this. It means appreciate the ministers that God has placed in your midst. Appreciate those, because listen to this, let's just call it like it is. If a minister is the minister that he ought to be, then he realizes that it is a direct call of God that has called that individual to proclaim the word of God, to lead in worship, to lead young people. It is God's directive who has called this individual to do that. That means that you and I, that we ought to show appreciation and respect. Can I share this with you today, though? 17 years of doing what I do. That is long gone. And I'll be honest with you this morning as well. I point the finger at pastors. I believe that's the reason. I believe because of pastors across this great land today, you don't have to look far. Shoot, just go home, pick up the newspaper possibly today, or type it in on the internet, Google it on the internet, and we have pastors falling day after day, involved in affairs, embezzling money. The list goes on and on. But you know, the thing of respect and appreciation, that seems to be a thing of the past, doesn't it? I was talking with my dad just the other day, and my granddaddy Grimes, only went to town one day out of the week, always on Friday. I would remember I'd go to town with my granddaddy on Friday as a little boy. I was about my son's age, about 11, 12 years old. We'd go to Brundage, Alabama. We'd drive all the way from Jack to the town of Brundage, Alabama. And I remember my granddaddy, that was a special day. Because my granddaddy would get ready. This is what he would put on. He would put on not his work overalls, but his new Liberty overalls. He would put them on. He would put on a plaid button-up shirt He would put that shirt on. He would put on his brogan lace-up boots. If you don't know what brogans are, I'll talk to you after the service and let you know what brogans are. He would put on his brogans. He would put on his new Liberty overalls. He would put on that plaid shirt. He would have his black walking stick, and he would put on a gray Town and Country Stetson hat. Hot dog, let's go to town, boys. And I remember I'd go to town with my granddaddy, and I can still see us walking, or in my mind, I can see us walking down the streets there in front of Jackson's Hardware in Brundage, Alabama. And you know what? Listen to this. I can still see to this day young men stepping out of my granddaddy's way and allowing that elderly gentleman. They showed respect for him, for that older gentleman. They got out of his way, and they made sure that they showed him respect because of who he was. My granddaddy wasn't no state senator. My granddaddy wasn't anything to do with politics. My granddaddy wasn't in the ministry. You know what? My granddaddy, listen to me, he was just a man. And you know what? Listen to me. Respect and appreciation needs to be shown today. And may I share this with you today? It needs to be shown to those who teach, those who preach the Word of God, those who do those things, those who labor for the kingdom of God. That appreciation needs to be shown today. If that individual is doing what they ought to do. Amen. But notice this, Paul goes on and says this. Not only does he share that with us, but he shares something else here. The second thing that he shares with us, and y'all have to forgive me, I'm not catching up with my little thing here. The second thing is this, in verse 13, there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice what that word says. It says, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And notice this, live in peace with one another. Live in peace. The Bible commands that this church and every other church in this world live in peace. Got a good friend of mine now that will not set foot in a church, And the reason being that this individual will not set foot in a church is because the way churches and church people act. That's what this individual says. Tells me, Mike, I don't need that. I can get that at my job. I can get somebody talking about me at my job. I can get somebody laughing at me and making fun of the way I dress at my job. I can do that at job. I don't need it. You know as well as I do this morning that you will hear, if something goes haywire in one of the churches here in this county, you will know tonight before you lay your head on the pillow and close your eyes, you will know what went wrong, who was in it, and how it happened like that. You know what? Not only will you, but so will every other person in this county as well. Live in peace. Does that mean we have to agree about everything? No. Come on. We're human. God made each one of us individually the way we are and what we do and what we... He made us individually. But listen to this. We flat sure ought to love one another in this place. We flat sure ought to treat one another with respect and love and just have peace in here. Listen, you know what? This ought to be a place every person wants to be because of the love and the peace and the comfort that's found inside this place. Love and have peace, but notice this. Notice what the next thing is, and we'll end right here. Oh, no, we won't. I got two more I want to give you. Because I got a lot of them to give you. Live in peace. And thirdly is this, admonish the unruly. Notice what it says there. It says in verse 14, "And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly." Admonish the unruly. That means this. You start acting up in the church, we got to come to you and settle you down. You start getting out of hand in the church, then we need to come to you and let you know, hey, you're getting out of hand. You need, for the sake of the well-being of this church, you need to simmer down. That don't happen anymore, does it? Only one time in my ministry, in 17 years of ministry, once, praise be unto God in heaven, once, only once, have I had to ask somebody not to simmer down, but to leave the church. Why is this? Why is it we don't see that happening anymore? I'll tell you exactly why it is. Because whenever you and I, whenever we may say, tell someone, say, listen, you know, you're becoming a little unruly here. You may, these type things. Buddy, I'm here to tell you, you know it like I do. Woof! Becomes a firestorm, doesn't it? You know what? The Bible is very clear, though, for the sake of the church, there comes a time that you and I, listen to me, that you and I, that we admonish, we warn them and let them know, listen, hey, you're potentially involved in something or doing something that is going to be detrimental to the body of believers that the church you and I are part of. That is biblical today. But notice this. You didn't know you was going to come here today and hear the preacher say, you know what, the preacher done said it. We got to get on to these people now. Wait a minute. Hold on. Look at number four. The fourth thing is found right there in verse 14 as well. And that's this. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. Paul puts the rough stuff up front, so to speak. And now he begins to come and share. And you'll see as we go through the remainder of these this evening, he begins to share with us the things that, hey. Do you realize in this place right here today, this is where you and I ought to find encouragement, number one, from God, and secondly, from one another. It is our responsibility today, and it is commanded to us, notice the word says there, that we are to encourage the faint-hearted. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to step out on a limb here this morning and say this, that there is somebody sitting in this room right here today who is faint-hearted, if you will. They are depressed. They are down and out. They are having a good run of bad luck. However you want to put it, I would be willing to say in this room right now, you're here. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what possibly you're walking through, but I can share this with you. There is encouragement to be found this morning. And there is comfort to be found. There is strength to be found today. And it is in Jesus Christ today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please. And at this time right now, I want to issue an invitation this morning. And the invitation is, it begins right now. It doesn't have to wait till we start singing. It's here right now for you. This morning, maybe you are faint-hearted. Maybe you are having a hard time in life. Then right now is for you. Maybe today your relationship is not what it ought to be with Jesus. Maybe years ago you prayed the sinner's prayer, what's known as the sinner's prayer, and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to be Lord of your life, and you meant it. You were sincere. And you knew after you prayed that prayer, and you being as sincere as you were, you knew according to the Word of God at that moment you were saved. And your relationship began with Jesus Christ that very moment. Now, over the years, for whatever reason, life has taken its toll on you. The things of this world have pulled you away, and that relationship is not what it used to be. But this morning, you want it to be what it once was. Then this time is for you as well. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to another minister. There's a minister standing up front here right now, Brother Alan Singley. He would be more than happy, be honored. I know this man. He would be honored to be able to minister to you and pray with you about anything here this morning. I'm here. I'd the same is for me. But you really don't need to come to us. You need to come to Jesus today. Allow Him to change your life. So this is the invitation. First and foremost is to come to Jesus. Come here, get on your knees. You can come right now, wherever you're at in this room. Say, God, today I'm not where I need to be, but today I'm going to start and I'm going to do my level best in this year upcoming to live my life for You and You alone. Wherever you're at in this room, start making your way here right now to get on your knees and begin to pray that to God. Not to me, but to God. Maybe you're here today, you're the faint-hearted one. Say, preacher, I just need somebody to pray with me. I need that encouragement. I need that strength you're talking about that you just read about there in the Word of God. I need that today. Then you come right now to Jesus as well, because He is truly the one that can give you that strength this morning. And Father, we do pray in this moment that, God, we see lives changed and lives encouraged for Your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Brother Alan.